live from the List Track Recording Studio. This is Email Marketing Today. Here are your hosts, Ross, Matt, and Brent.
Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of Email Marketing Today with your host, Matt Elliott from List Track. And with us today, as always, are Ross Kramer, CEO of List Track.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Ross. And Brent Schroyer, our product manager.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. I think we've all been, you know, watching the economic reports lately, and there's no secret to what's going on right now with the economy. Ross and I and Brent and I were talking, you know, prior to the podcast about, you know, some of the impacts that's having on email marketing and marketing in general. And Ross has got some insights that he wanted to share. And I think today we want to spend a little bit of time talking about the economy and what we can do as email marketers to stem the flow and try to, you know, better prepare ourselves to survive these tough times.
Yeah, I think the impetus here was that Forrester came out with a report that said that e-commerce sales in 2008 only grew by 13%, which was really the slowest growth percentage in, you know, since the advent of the shopping cart. And I think today what we want to talk about is, for anybody that is an e-retailer, has an e-commerce component, is really how they can maximize their dollars in a down economy and some of the things to think about, you know, when it comes to adding spark to your sales in a down economy. And that my thought was that it's really time to look at your messaging. So messaging is, an email is really the fire that can ignite your e-commerce sales. And I think a lot of e-commerce managers have sort of become addicted, a little bit of an email addiction. And because it is such a strong driver to sales. So
yeah, it's danger of falling back to the blast mentality.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So I think it's time to look at all of your messaging, or perhaps all of your blasting, if that's what you're into.
No.
And so some of the thoughts that I had for today was to look at, really take a full sweeping look at how you're messaging to your clients, starting from welcome messages all the way through to viral pass-alongs. I think we should probably spend some time to talk about shopping cart abandonment today, as well as how you're messaging and your transactional messages and things like that.
Sure. And I know starting with the welcome message is a good place, because statistics have shown it is the most read message out of any message that will ever be sent from any of your campaigns. The number one most read, open, clicked on message is the welcome message. And
So first of all, let's make sure you have one. That, you know, that's kind of like step one, because it's, you know, I'm surprised how many times there's just no welcome message. It's, you know, such a prime opportunity to get that message across and to welcome someone onto your list, and to not have that, it's amazing.
Yeah, I know I've signed up for lists before at like some major retailers and not heard from them, didn't receive a welcome message, and then not heard from them in like 3 to 4 weeks. And I won't mention Gold Toe specifically, but I know I recently was in their outlet shop in Reading. And when I say recently, this is like October. And I got my first email from them after signing up in store last week.
Matt, are you wearing socks today?
I am wearing socks today, only because these shoes require them. But yes.
And it's cold outside.
And it's cold. And so that was really surprising to me that it took that long. At first, I thought maybe I did something in how I wrote my email address out on the card and whatnot. Maybe there was a transposition issue or something. No, they had it. It just took them that long to actually send a message to me. And being an experienced email marketer, I mean, I could, you know, I didn't immediately unsubscribe or do any of these other things because I remembered having been there. But there's probably been occasions where people don't remember that. And that's a prime example of a campaign that could lead to, or a practice that could lead to, you know, high unsubscribe rates or complaint rates.
Was it a automated? Was it a card that you filled out?
Yeah, it was a card.
Card that you filled out. Yeah. So there's probably some float in there in terms of how long it would take to get back there. Just some brainstorming, some ideas for, say, in-store welcome messaging could be a coupon or some other offer to get you back into the store. And so coupons, very trackable method, you know, to get you back in there. Offers to go to their website could surely be, another thing that could have come along in the welcome message.
And it's a good idea to always talk about, you know, what you're going to be sending in that welcome message, to actually give some examples possibly, and talk about frequency of how, you know, how often you're going to be messaging, just, you know, to set those expectations up front.
I think pushing the envelope a little bit for retailers, especially say a shoe store or a sock store, to, and this is the one thing, I think another sort of fallacy of the welcome messaging is sort of a one welcome message fits all type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think a cool thing to do would be to go by the seasons. So if it was winter time, your welcome message would talk about, you know, wool socks and things like that. When it's summertime, we're talking about, you know, athletic socks and, you know, cotton-based stuff.
Sure.
Which is, I think would be a you know, something beyond just the sort of a blast mentality. Yeah.
Thank you for signing up. Here's a 20% off coupon with your next visit.
Yeah. So, and offers based around the time of year. Here's a 20% off coupon for wool socks because it's cold out there.
Yeah. Sure. And there's your inspiration to get in and actually update your welcome message, because so many times it's just stale. You know, it's set once when the account's set up. It's just ignored. And, you know, down the road, a year later, same person's getting the same welcome message and may even have the last year's date on it. It's, you know, copyright last year and, you know, it has never been updated.
So the word to the wise is if you're running an email marketing program and you have a sign up form on your website, spend the time to go sign up yourself. If you have to get a new address to do it, you know, get a Yahoo or Hotmail address or something, Gmail address, go out, register an address and sign up for your newsletter, sign up for your, you know, whatever you're offering on your website for your email address and see what you get and do some real critical analysis of that.
So I think the next thing that we could talk about perhaps in really understanding your messaging and trying to get the most value out of your messaging is utilizing dynamic content within your outbound campaigns. And again, we've talked about this so much, but it's the relevancy thing, right?
Mm, oh yeah, definitely.
You know, speaking to your customers in a relevant manner, it's now is the time.
The more personalized you can get it, the better. I mean, if you're sending out a blanket email to your entire list, you can't speak the same language and in the same way to every single contact on your list. It's not going to be effective.
It's very impersonal.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen some great examples. There's a bunch of examples out on our resource center in terms of how we've helped e-retailers boost performance by using dynamic content. And for those that might be listening today, we're really talking about variable data replacement using blocks of content that have been pre-made and then allowing ListTrak to assemble those messages dynamically based upon the preferences or things that you know about your customer
base. And that all sounds a lot harder than it actually is. Really. I mean, really when it comes down to it, because, you know, you're looking at either two sets of data, the data that you're collecting external to ListTrak or past campaign data, actually doing what we call dynamic profiling, looking at past click history, past opens, and taking that information, using that to dynamically to generate your dynamic content. But, you know, in a system like ListTrak, you know, you have a content library, you're putting your content out there, the content blocks, and then you're just showing those blocks based on the profile, the attribute that is set for each one of those contacts.
Yeah, and I think the key here is part of the problem with the mentality that I'm seeing in a lot of email marketers right now is that email's so cheap compared to the other, you know, other marketing channels that maybe we should just start hitting our list over and over again and really just bomb the emails out there.
You know, and it's short-term thinking. You know,
right, exactly. And it is going to be short-term thinking because there's going to be long-term ramifications in list shrinkage, unsubscribes, abuse complaints, and other things that could really stem from that kind of behavior when really it's quality over quantity. And we were kind of having a little bit of a discussion about, you know, when is it time to think about acquisition and when is it time to think about retention of customers? And I know in almost every sales model I've ever been familiar with, the acquisition of customers costs a lot more than it does to retain customers. And I know, Ross, you could verify that with our own sales team here, but so kind of thinking of what happens if you lose customers, how difficult is it going to be to get them back versus, you know, how do you really target those loyal customers and speak to them?
And I think it's important when you listen to Matt's words to lose a customer, you may not lose them in the traditional sense that you've lost the customer, but you've lost their attention.
Right.
And these days, the attention of your customer is really what you're trying to maintain. So when you hear Matt say, oh, you've lost the customer, he's really talking about you've lost their attention. They've tuned you out. They may not have hit the unsub button because you're still under contract, or every once in a while you send them some great offers that they can't refuse. But you really want them to be paying attention to you often when you're using an interruption-based marketing thing like email.
But you even have more of a danger there as far as that person being upset and doing the abuse report. And abuse report's adding up and affecting the rest of your list.
Yeah.
So that complaint now, not just affecting that one person that didn't want to get your message. Now it's actually affecting the people that do want to get your message, and they're not receiving it because your reputation's taken a hit.
Exactly.
Dynamic content, definitely something to pay attention to, and and the content and creative that you're delivering there. The next thing I think that anybody that's listening to the podcast is going to hear a lot about, and one of the things that we're bracing ourselves for that for our pending launch of our new, what we're right now calling our event-triggered messaging system. And that's really understanding, once you've got the tools available, of what the succession of messaging that you're going to impress upon someone, and what's the right sort of rate or cadence of messages that you impress upon somebody. So these types of tools are coming available to ListTrack customers later on in Q2, early Q3. And that's going to be baked into this system. I'm going to put an offer out there like I normally do on these podcasts for any of our customers that are listening in, or really anybody that wants to have a early peek at our event triggered messaging system, to pop an email into info@listtrack.com for a tour of that system. But that sort of leads into the idea of shopping cart abandonment. And the fact that, shopping cart abandonment, I think, has been adopted by many early adopters, but it really has not reached full saturation. I know some of the guys here have started to dig into that, to some of our e-retail customers, to try to understand their abandonment rates. And one of the discussions I was just in had an abandonment rate of, I think it was 74%. 74% of the people added something to a basket and never checked out.
Wow.
So the concept is, either before or after, I think the concept is really before they add that item to the cart, you're asking for their email address. Obviously, there's some fairly tricky cookie-based stuff in there that you've got to capture the cookie to understand what's in there and tie that, match that cookie to the email. But using email to get them to
complete the purchase.
Yeah. Complete the step there is really the critical piece.
And giving some incentive. So, a certain amount of time actually passes, up the incentive a little bit, further discount, another coupon to encourage that person to come back and finish checking out.
And then try to find out why, people are abandoning the cart. I mean, there's certain people that are like price shoppers. They're going around, maybe you're not publishing your shipping rates, and the only way for them to find out their shipping rate is to like get to that final stage of purchase to actually see what the cost is. And they say, oh man, your shipping's too high, I'm going to go somewhere else. And really trying to do some analysis to figure out why are people abandoning the cart and not completing the purchase. And then using that analysis to help drive that campaign to bring them back in and finish the purchase.
And I think the imperative here is any e-marketing manager that's got an e-commerce component to their business and they're looking to get the returns that they need to get, now is the time to look at implementing these solutions, these types of things that are going to really add to the bottom line without significantly increasing costs.
Sure. And the triggered message, I mean, that can go back to even the welcome message, where the initial welcome message comes along, and depending on what kind of information that client clicks on to put them into a new funnel and schedule a new email to go out to that person.
That's interesting. To even detect if they've got stuff in the cart or what they've got in their wish list or things like that.
Exactly.
Definitely. That's a great idea.
And going back to your point, Ross, about how now is the time to look at this stuff, because in the past when money was flowing and the economy was well and things were just cooking right along, you could get away with maybe not necessarily implementing all the best practices, and because you knew that the returns were still going to be there. Well, now there's a lot more competition for the dollar, and now is the time to really kind of be much more strategic and much more tactical with running your email marketing campaigns and looking at all the information that's out there. The ListTrack Resource Center, the marketing Sherpas of the world, and the email experience councils of the world, and looking at the data that's out there and the white papers and all the educational information that's available at your fingertips, and getting a real good handle as to, what can I be doing as an email marketer to really better myself during these times.
So here's a question for you guys. So many of the marketers out there listening to this, they may have heard some of this before. They may know this. They may have taken it to heart, but they need to sell it to management. You know, how can, you know, they've got managers on their case. They're looking at, you know, the amount of people on the list rather than the actual quality of the clicks. How do you sell this to management? You know, that it's, you know, we got to look at the long term rather than the short term, especially in a down economy like this.
Well, the good news is that all this data is very trackable. When you look at shopping cart abandonment, for example, and, you know, say you're an e-retailer and you've got that shopping cart abandonment of 74%. So it's just a numbers game, right? So you're going to know how much it's going to cost to, say, hire an outside consulting firm to help you implement this. Or perhaps you have internal resources, so you're going to know how much that's going to cost. You can take a guess, because there's a lot of best practices out there that tell you if you implement this, this is the proposed lift that you're going to get. So in the cart abandonment, it's a pretty simple equation. You look at the best practices and you can see, well, if we can increase this by only 10%, and we get a 74% abandonment, and this is how much, you know, the other 26% nets us, I think it's should be a fairly easy sell, even in a down economy. Dynamic content, selling dynamic content. Matt, you can really speak to, I'll volley it back in terms of the numbers that sort of the typical numbers that people see. But the key for dynamic content is to increase open rates, increase read rates, increase click-through rates. And I'll volley it over to you here, Matt, to talk about kind of average click-through rates that you see in Batch and Blast, and average click-through rates you should see for dynamic content.
Sure. And without those numbers at my fingertips, but having recently, you know, gone through a lot of these guides and the benchmarks that are out there, it's going to vary from vertical and from industry and whatnot. But what we are seeing is lifts in the, like, 3 to 5 times as high when you're doing dynamic relevant content.
Yeah, so it comes down to the more specific that content is, you know, the higher the lift that we're seeing.
Right, because you can expect like an open rate on like 5 to 8% with a commercial blast out to your entire list with just a generic offer, and you can see 20 to 25% open rates, 30% open rates with targeted specific matter. So again, it comes down to quality over quantity. And you know, you were asking earlier, how do you sell this to management? The one number that most managers understand, and if they don't, they're probably in the wrong position, is ROI. And understanding what is the return they're getting on that investment, and being able to break down not only what's the return they're getting for a current campaign and what they're doing, what would be the lost opportunity?
Right, the lost ROI.
The lost ROI if they were to scare off loyal customers by, you know, hitting them over the head too much with too many email campaigns. And so if you lose some of those loyal customers, you know, there's a real lost opportunity going forward in that, and understanding where your income comes from and being able to speak to that to your management team is also very important.
And a stark reality for many out there may be that those customers are already lost. And again, when I say lost, I mean they're not completely lost, but they've tuned you out.
Yeah, they've disengaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're unengaged. And that really goes back to other conversations that we started having in late 2008, which is really about talking to your customers differently based upon the engagement. That's probably maybe a topic for a podcast down the line here.
But we had a webinar yesterday with Herschel Gordon-Lutz on Wednesday. I mean, and what Herschel had said that is you could focus on price or benefit or both, but really one of the things that you really need to be focused on is your tense. And what I mean by that is keeping things in the present, not looking at the future tense, keeping things in the here and now, because what we're experiencing in the economy is happening to us and affecting us now. You know, don't be selling me on a future benefit. I need to know what's going to happen for me now. And, you know, and depending on what your product or service is, price might be the angle that you need to go on, but benefit may also be there. And so, you know, really kind of analyzing your marketing campaigns and making sure that you're maximizing your messaging as well to speak to people and what's going to mean the most to them during these times.
It was a great webinar again by Herschel. And for anyone out there that missed it, we will have that available on our site on demand, as we do with all of our webinars, so you can come and watch that anytime.
Awesome. And our next webinar is
February 18th with our friend Rob High, who is a advertising agency veteran. He's worked for scads of top brands, and he's worked for top agencies throughout throughout his long career. He's now consulting at small agencies on how to become big agencies and win business over big agencies. So if you are an ad agency, or you're listening in from an ad agency, or that particular vertical is of interest to you, Rob High is an absolute industry veteran, and he'll have some great insights to share on the 18th.
He's an excellent speaker and really knows his material.
So we hope to see everybody on the webinar on the 18th, entitled Winning Business in This Damn Down Economy. And I think the last thing that we'd like to chat about today before we sign off is messaging within your transactional messages. So again, when you're looking at all of your messaging, for those e-retailers out there fortunate enough to be getting clicks and getting conversions and people buy, almost everybody's sending an order confirmation email. It's an opportunity to upsell. It's an opportunity to cross-sell. And that is something that you want to be looking at as well.
Yeah, it's an opportunity, depending on what the product is or service is, to sell warranty programs, service programs, other programs like what you see on Amazon, where people who bought this also bought this. And, you know, using, you know, you have some leeway with your transactional message to include some marketing information. I believe that for canned spam compliance, it's less than 25% of your transactional message can have a marketing component to it. So there is some leeway and some room to do some cross-selling and some marketing within your transactional messages. And so it's a good time to review that. Again, go through the process of your own shopping cart and see what you get in your transactional message and look for those opportunities to grow that marketing.
Yeah, you talk about, you know, the struggle for attention, and you've got their attention. You know, they've actually taken action. It's not you as the marketer taking action. It's the contact themselves that has taken action. They've bought something, and they're going to be looking at that email because they're looking at shipping date, or they're looking at, you know, when is this item going to be delivered to me? And so you have their attention. So, you know, get the offer in front of their eyes.
Absolutely.
You know, Matt, and it's interesting that you mentioned Amazon. While kind of the average e-commerce growth was 13%. For the fourth quarter of 2008, Amazon actually increased 18%. And so you might say, oh man, okay, 13%, 18%, we're talking 5 percentage points there. But you know, when we listen to the news and we listen to all this economic stuff, literally thousands of jobs are being cut and major restructurings are happening by just a few percentage points. You know, some of the bigger retailers, Macy's and some others, oh, sales were down 2% or something like that, leading to stores closing and this sort of thing. So, you know, we've been saying it for a long time that, you know, the balance really can lie in just a few percentage points either way. And it's really about implementing some of these advanced features that take, yes, it will take a little bit more time. It will take more investment, but the return that you're going to get is really going to show through.
It doesn't take a PhD. It doesn't, it's not rocket science. It doesn't take a PhD, but it does just take a little bit of time. But the investment on that time, I mean, mark our words, the investment on that time would be worth it.
And it's always a good idea. I know we always bring this up, but testing, you know, test it, you know, test those offers, test those ads, and test it against your baseline, against what you have been doing, and see what kind of lift that you get.
Awesome. Well, it's been another wonderful episode here with LeChuck Marketing today. And I want to thank Ross and Brent, as always, for joining us. And we'll speak to you next week.
See you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.